We spent a few weeks talking about the deacon as we have seen it him in the New Testament. And we've shown that the word deacon has a general sense to it, what we've called the small d deacon. And deacon has a specific sense as well, an office sense, and we've called that the big D or the capital D deacon. You remember that we walked through the New Testament and we showed all of these times when the word deacon is used to describe people in the church, and the verb form of deacon is used as well to show that we're all called to serve the church. We're all called to deacon among the church. And we call that the small d deacon. And most of the uses of the word deacon that are found in the New Testament are not those that relate to the office of deacon, but most of the use of the Greek word behind deacon is those who are serving in the church. And they're found all in the Gospels and all through the epistles. And we see all of these different instances where people are called deacons, and we know that they're small d deacons and not big d deacons. We can think of Jesus himself is called a deacon to the church, or the Apostle Paul is called a deacon to the church. And we know that they didn't hold office as deacons in the church, but they're serving the church. Now, we've read from Philippians 1, and we've read from 1 Timothy 3, and we've read from Luke 10, and we have seen offices in these sections. Philippians 1 is written to the saints who are in Philippi, and that's all of the believers in Philippi, and to the overseers, the elders, and the deacons. And that's how the book opens. It shows that there are two offices that are functioning within the church in Philippi. There's elders, and we've talked about elders, teaching elders and ruling elders. And there are deacons. So there's those that oversee, and there are those that serve. Two offices. And then in 1 Timothy 3, we see two sets of qualifications. We see a qualification set belonging to the elders, let the overseer be. And then here's the list, and we've worked through that list. And then Paul transitions, and he says, now concerning the deacons, here's a list for the deacons. And there's qualifications given for the deacons. And we know that that is deacon in the official office, what we've called big D sense of the word. The deacons that are office bearers versus the deacons that are those that serve the church generally. Small d, capital D. I hope that's not confusing, the small d, capital D thing. Now we've also read from Luke chapter 10. And you may look at that text and think, well, is he just throwing in a little Jesus in his deacon sermon? Why did we read from this portion of the gospel? But I want you to notice what we see in the parable. And we're not going to exegete the parable the way that this parable would normally be preached, but I just want to comment briefly on the fact that there are two offices that pass by the one who was robbed. The one is robbed, and he's there on the ground, and he's in need of mercy, according to verse 37. Jesus says, or the man says, the one who showed him mercy. So he's broken, he's there on the ground, and somebody needs to show him mercy. And what does Jesus use as the punch in the parable? he uses two offices, doesn't he? He says a priest walks by and does nothing. Now we would expect that the priest would care for him. And then he says the Levite goes by and he does nothing. Well, what's the connection? The connection is that in the mind of the original hearers, they would have understood that when the priest went by and was not showing mercy, that that would be a surprise. You know, there's a pastor walking and he sees someone in need and he doesn't help. And that would be kind of a shock thing. You say, whoa, the pastor's supposed to help. But then Jesus says, a Levite walked by and did nothing. And to the original hearers, what they would have heard for the Levite is the one who cares for the church, the one who shows mercy, the one who is set apart specifically for mercy in the church, walks by and does nothing. In a real sense, the Levites come into the New Testament not as Levites, but as deacons. The way that priests and prophets come into the New Testament as elders who rule and elders that teach. Alexander Strauch, who wrote a very well-respected book on the diaconate, notes that unlike the title overseer, which is well documented in secular Greek literature and the Greek Old Testament, diakonos as a title for an office is rarely used. Nevertheless, it does occur outside of the New Testament, even in religious settings. The first Christians and their leaders chose the title diakonos for their new office, and then they filled the word with meaning. So there's no deacon, per se, in the Old Testament. But it doesn't mean that the work of the deacon was not done in the Old Testament. There are those that teach the Word of God in the Old Testament, and they come over from prophets as pastors. And the New Testament uses the term prophesying for those that preach the Word of God. One of the most famous Puritan books on preaching is called The Art of Prophesying. And it's a book for student preachers learning to preach. And we see that also with the priests and elders in the church. There's elders that rule in the ancient church, and that comes over easily into the New Testament. But when we come to the deacon, and we've spent several weeks already looking at Acts 6, but now we're backing up and we're asking this question, did the apostles just make something up? Does that sound like something that our God would do? Here's a God who regulates everything about His worship, including the offices of the church. And were the apostles saying, you know, I got a stack of commentaries that I got to get through. I don't have time for this table waiting business, so we're just going to make a new office and ordain people to that office in this church, this ancient church that is obsessed with a God who regulates everything down to the colors of the curtains, says, sure, make a new office, we'll ordain people to the new office. No, there's continuity between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And when we ask ourselves, what is the continuity concerning the deacon? The answer is found in the Levite. Because the Levite is the one who is called to show mercy. And Jesus illustrates that for us in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Now, when we go into the Old Testament and we look at Deuteronomy 12, and you can add this to your list of things to read this evening as you close out your Lord's Day. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 12, the Levites are the ones who are called in an ordained way to take care of the physical property of the church, and they are the ones who are called to oversee the tithes in the ancient church, and they are the ones who are called to show mercy to the people of God in the ancient church. You know, there's a reason that the deacons collect the offering. There's a reason that deacons have access to what we call the mercy fund. And there's a reason that the deacons are the ones that have to look at the budget. And part of that connection is an Old Testament, New Testament continuity. The Levites in the ancient church, they carried the implements. You think of all that went into ancient worship, all of the vestments and the cups and all of the equipment that went into ancient worship. Somebody had to take care of all of that stuff. And it was the Levites specifically called to care for the physical property of the temple. And then we see in ancient church history that as synagogues spread through the world, if there was a Levite there, they would be the ones who would be caring for the physical property even within the synagogue. Now, the Levite transformation begins in 1 Chronicles 23, and then we see it again in 2 Chronicles 5, that where Moses has Levites under Aaron, under David, remember that worship changes some. There's a Davidic revolution or a reformation in worship, and God ordains changes in the public worship of the church and the way that things are ordered as Jerusalem becomes the center of the revealed religion. And some of that work includes change in the way that the Levites function. In under Moses, God had Levites caring for the tabernacle, which moved about, and caring for the worship and the implements of worship. And then under David, they are bound even more to a physical temple, but they're also called to care for the people of God in the Old Testament as well. Now, we know that in the New Testament, we don't have a temple. This isn't Los Angeles Reformed Presbyterian Temple, right? There's no sacrifices that go on here. We don't have an altar. We don't have a priesthood. We don't have any of that stuff. But in the New Testament, there is a temple. What's the temple in the New Testament? It's you. You are the temple. The church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God resides in you the way He resides in the Old Testament, in the physical temple. And in the Old Testament, the Levites are giving their care over the physical property of the temple, and they're showing that mercy is centered here, and that physical care is centered here. And as tithes are given, the temple had these big boxes for the collection of tithes, and you'd drop your money in, and it would be the Levites that would empty that money. You know, if you've ever been to an old Presbyterian church, and older than ours, or even old Dutch Reformed churches have these. They'll have a drop box instead of collection, and on your way out you would drop your tithe in a box that's connected here and here, and that is reflective of the drop box that's in the temple as people would come and worship and they would give their tithes. Somebody has to empty the drop box. It's the Levites. It's the Levites that oversee the care of not only the temple, but the mercy needs of Israel as well. And in the New Testament, we see that it makes sense for the continuity between Old Testament and New Testament, that as the diaconate is set apart as an office, it's nothing innovative on the part of the apostles. The apostles aren't saying, you know, we've got a new religion and we're going to do things our way and we're going to do things new. No, they don't do that. They look to God's word for instruction. And they see that this office of Levite that had care and mercy and care for the poor and care for the physical needs and care for the tithes, that the diaconate is that continuity. Now you may hear that and think, well, that's really interesting. Has anyone ever thought of that before you? And the answer is yes. Be glad that the answer is yes. There's numerous historical notations that connect the deacon with the Levite. The church fathers make that connection by the 2nd century Clement of Rome is referring to the deacons of the church as the Levites of the church. Historically written accounts. In Alexandria, in Egypt, we read that there is that connection made as well, as in Alexandria they're referring to the deacon as the Levite. So there's a Rome and there's Egypt, and those are different ancient traditions that end up developing over time. But both of them have that connection made with calling those that serve as deacons Levites. And we see also that as we come into the Reformation, that Reformed writers do not have difficulty with referring to Levites and deacons as similar and seeing that connection. In the Institutes of the Christian Religion, here's the citation, Book 4, Chapter 19, Paragraph 32, so 4.19.32, Calvin refers to the deacons in that chapter as the Levites. And we see also that if you look at Matthew Henry's commentary in Isaiah 66, as well as Numbers 3, he calls the deacons Levites. Here's a quote from Henry's. This is from the Isaiah 66 portion. I will take of them, of the proselytes, of Gentile converts, for priests and for Levites to minister in holy things and to preside in their religious assemblies, which is necessary for doctrine, worship, and discipline. Hitherto, the priests and Levites were taken from among the Jews and were of one tribe. But in the gospel age, God will take of the converted Gentiles to minister to him in holy things, to teach the people, to bless them in the name of the Lord, to be stewards of the mysteries of God. And the priests and the Levites were under the law to be pastors and teachers, to give themselves to the word and prayer, and to deacons who serve tables, and as the Levites, to take care of the outward business of the house of God. So Henry shows that Isaiah 66, as it prophesies that priests and Levites will be taken from among the Gentiles, the way that that comes into the New Testament church is the ministers of the word and the deacons are taken no longer from Jewish tribes, but they are taken from among the Gentiles. And the function remains. The names change, but the functions remain. Ministering the word and blessing you in the name of the Lord. That's the benediction, right? I minister the word to you and then bless you in the name of the Lord. And that's something that belongs to my office as a minister of the gospel. But the stewards of the church in the Old Testament were called the Levites, and it comes into the New Testament as the deacons of the church. So we see this connection between the deacons and the Levites is there for continuity between Old and New Testaments. But of course it is a functional continuity. You all that may serve as ordained deacons at some point in the future, you don't need to be from the same family, right? There is discontinuity between Old Testament and New Testament. But the continuity is something that definitely needs to be seen so that we see that the apostles aren't making things up as they go. You know, if I came here next week and I was like, guys, I had some great ideas and just, you know, the liturgy is going to change and we're bringing in a clown and we're doing all these things. You know, you'd call the presbytery and you'd have me dragged before them to be condemned, right? The apostles didn't do that either. They don't say, we have a need, so we're going to invent an office that will be ordained. They look to the scriptures and they say, here's continuity between Old Testament and New Testament. And we see that continuity in office. The continuity from Old Testament to New is for those that would organize the service and the mercy of the church. And it would happen in the name of Christ, the way that in the Old Testament, the service and the mercy was done in the name of Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of heaven and earth. So deacon becomes very specialized as an official title for an office within the church. And because it is an office, there are specific qualifications that must be met. The same way that there are specific qualifications for elders, whether they be ruling elders or teaching elders. And both of those are ordained, right? We've seen ruling elders ordained. Maybe you've never seen a ruling elder here ordained, or last installation he was already ordained. But Saturday, you can come and you can see Mr. Young ordained. And Mr. Young will stand here and he'll kneel, and the presbyters will come around him. They'll lay hands on him. They'll pray over him. And they'll set him apart for a specific function. And it's not a function that we've made up. It's a function that God calls men to. And that's why they're ordained, and that's why they're set apart. It's the same for ruling elders. If there was a ruling elder who was called and had never been ordained, he would stand here and the session would lay hands on him and we would ordain him, set him apart for a specific function. And with the deacons, it's no different. It's not that the apostles made something up. There is an ordained continuity that happens between Old and New Testament. And the deacon would stand here and be ordained to serve the church in mercy and in finances and in property and of all of these things that we've talked about. And those ideas don't come from our own mind. And they don't even come from the mind of the apostles. They come from the scriptures, even of the Old and the New Testament. The work of the deacon is to oversee the temple's practical and material needs. And that necessitates, of course, the administration of funds. Since the first Christians didn't have buildings to maintain, the first deacons were people helpers. They really understood that the temple is a people. And maybe post-Constantine, as church property becomes more popular, the function of the deacon switches and it goes back to physical temple, forgetting that mercy is central. But mercy central because the deacons serve the temple, which is you, which is me, which is the body of Christ. So as we think about who the Lord may be calling to serve as our deacons, to serve as our Levites, if you'll give it to me, we really need to lift up the view of the office. The deacon is not the handyman. You know, you don't just look out and say, who's handy? Okay, you're a deacon. Or who loves people? Okay, you're a deacon. Or who has an accounting degree? Okay, you're a deacon. It's an office, which means it's a calling. A calling from God, where He sets the deacon apart to do the work and to equip the deacon to do the work unto the glory of Christ, so that the temple of God may be presented before God as a beautiful temple. That goes beyond fascia repair, doesn't it? It goes straight into the heart of our lives as mercy is extended in the name of Jesus Christ, so that the bride may be pure and holy and presented by Christ. Who would the Lord raise up to be the Levites among us? Surely those who would show mercy, and those who would show the love of Christ in an official way. Let us think on this, even as we ask ourselves who it is that the Lord may be calling to serve. Amen.